Welcome to Providence Presbyterian Church. We are excited to have all of you here today to worship with us. Whether you are a member or a visitor, or whether you visited here many times, or if today is the first time, welcome. We're glad to have you here with us today, to worship with us today. There are welcome pads in the inner pews, the brown welcome pads. Make sure that you sign those and pass them along to your neighbor so that you can greet the people in your pew by name. And are there any other announcements before church begins this morning?
I have two announcements. The first one is that you may enjoy our Christmas decorations until the first Sunday in February, and that's when the decision's been made to take them down, unless you've changed it, which I guess they have. So, you know, it's always good to let me know those things, but that's all right. When are we taking them down? Well, guess what? You can enjoy them for this service, and then we're taking them down, okay? Now, look, a lot of you showed up to put them up. I don't want to see Gladys and myself and Sharon and, right, Jan and Melinda taking them down. Many hands make light work. Okay, the second one, and I don't see, oh, here he comes, our columnist. I have to tell you that I did open the paper this morning. Be sure you read Elder Fitzpatrick's column, because it'll tell you all about what are, if you're like me and didn't listen to Governor Link Chafee, because there was a basketball game on, you can understand what it was all about. And I do love your columns.
So the deacons are happy to host again our annual congregational brunch following our annual meeting next Sunday. It truly is a potluck. There is no sign-up sheet, so bring what you like. We will provide ham and drinks, but other than that, if you can bring an entree, a side dish, a dessert, it is truly potluck, so see you next Sunday.
The book group met at my house on Monday, and I just wanted to let everyone know that this month for February, we're going to be reading Lynn Fisher's new book, The Indian Great Awakening. The details will be in the bulletin probably next week, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on reading that book if you're interested in coming in February. February 11th.
Two quick ones. Also for the annual meeting, many of you have hopefully received by email a copy of the annual report. We're trying to save paper. We do have more paper ones. If you need one, please see me after the service. We'll try and save as many as we can to make sure everyone has one at the meeting next week. So if you take one, be sure and bring it back. But we have them. Secondly, I hope to have your financial contribution statements available next Sunday.
There will be a brief meeting next week, immediately following service, of the youth, grades 6 through 12. It's going to be a big event coming, big events coming up, so we need to get everything planned out next week after service.
There'll be a meeting at my house this afternoon of the unofficial PPC Men's Fellowship Group to watch football. You can come as early as 3 o'clock or wait until the real game that starts at 6:30. It is open to others besides just men, so feel free to bring your kids or your spouses as well.
There is a lot going on in the life of this church.
In my hand, I have an application for an interest-free student loan and scholarship program. This is the application. If you are in college and have no money, or if you are an an adult that has a child who's going to college, I want you to tap me on the shoulder, and I will give you a copy of this. So that this is a scholarship that's offered by the National Church, and there are people out there that have lots of money.
Many of you know that I work with graduate and medical students at Brown in Christian ministry, and we are hosting an event a week from Wednesday on January 30th, and it's called What's Love Got to Do with It? And it's reflections on the importance of love in the fields of neurology and social psychology. And we're bringing in Dr. Kurt LaFrance, who is a neuropsychiatrist here at Rhode Island Hospital, and Dr. Alice Brown Collins, who is a social psychologist, to talk about the intersection of love in their work and their clinical practice. It's at 7 o'clock at Sidney Frank Hall at Brown University. And so if you're interested, let me know. Again, it's January 30th.
We will also be having a 20s and 30s gathering on February 8th. We're going to have a potluck here at the church. So if you did not get an Evite, if you're not on that list, come see me and we'll get you on the list. But we're excited about that. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting are you, God. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest upon us. Establish our work, establish the work for our hands. Yes, establish the work for our hands.
Good morning. Stand with me as we sing. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons are my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never. Your holy name, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy
This is the message we have heard from him, and we proclaim it to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have a fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now let us continue our prayer through a time of silence. Now let us read together the prayer of confession. Almighty God, by your word, all that we have known has come into existence. Our universe, our world, our lives, our loved ones, and all that we have and hold dear. By your word, you sent forth your Son to bring us salvation through the cross of death and resurrection. By your word, you have called us together to be a church of love and service. By your word, we know that we live in grace and hope. We ask, O Lord, that you forgive our sins, guide our lives, inspire our thoughts, shape our attitudes, lighten our darkness, and fill our hearts with joy, assuring us of your constant presence until you bring us at the last into the glory of your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the song of confession, come now, Prince of Peace, verse 3 and 4.
Thank you.
People of God, please listen. God hold us out his hand of mercy and bless us by saying, you told me your sins without trying to hide them, and now you are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. He takes away our guilt in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven and free. Amen. It's time to share our joy and concern, and then we'll be followed by a prayer with our brother Phil Chen.
If For those of you who knew that Jim had surgery on Wednesday, I want to thank you for your prayers. He sends his greetings. He's doing really well. Still on some pain medication, which is why he's not here today. He really sounds pretty goofy.
I'd like prayers for Walter's family. His brother, Junior, passed away early Friday morning.
Our household is studying a lot right now. We'd love prayers for the girls. They have midterm exams this week, and I am taking an ordination exam on Friday in theology for the Presbyterian ordination process, and I really want to pass, so please just pray that I pass. Thanks.
Pop-pop's better.
Yeah, so thank you for your prayers for my dad, who had brain surgery this week, and it went very well. He's recovering, and they're mostly sure that it was benign, but they still have to do some tests. So continue prayers for him, and also prayers of thanksgiving. So thank you. And his name was Jimmy.
If I may, just a brief update. The conversations continue in Connecticut over budget cuts. I'm learning rather, slowly that logic doesn't necessarily win the day when it comes to politics and money. I'm not quite sure where this is all going to end up. It's feeling now a little bit like a marathon, so I do appreciate your prayers. I wish that I could stand up and say somehow it was all, it all changed quickly, but it has not. So I guess like many of us, or all of us, in today's day and age, it just seems to be a challenge upon challenge. As a quick note, having been one with a wife who went through graduate school and ordination later in life, and having kids who all went to school, Keith Cooper, you're in my prayers. I hope you can keep it together in the family.
I'd like to ask prayers for Sophie, who's been pretty sick for the past couple of days, and also prayers of thanksgiving for my sister coming in to help out unexpectedly yesterday, and prayers that the rest of us remain healthy. Thanks.
I'd like to ask for continuing prayers for Cheryl and Anderson Ross, her husband, her parents, her brothers. Her cancer was diagnosed so late, and they're speaking of the doctor who missed it as Dr. Quack. They've left him. And joy that they had that much awareness that this was not good. She's now lost total use of her right leg, so she's unable to drive. Fortunately, she's a woman with many, many friends. So she's being loved, she's being driven, and she's being prayed for. Let's join that.
I'm very thankful to God and for all the blessings and the prayers from this church and throughout a lot of people. But I've been struggling with, I've been asking God to help me through some things that I'm struggling with, and knowing that other people are going through the same things that I'm going through, and I'm the type of person, and I was taught through the churches that you got to help other people, but then I have to be selfish and say, no, I don't want to help nobody because I got to take care of me, and I struggle with that because, my heart says to reach out, and that's what we do. We reach out and help one another, but then inside I have to ask God, saying, all right, what, am I being mean? Am I being, and that's the thing, when we come to church, we're supposed to love unconditionally, but yet when I go home, I'm like, I struggle with it, and I'm like, am I, and it becomes a struggle, but it's through the grace of God I can ask him, help me get through this, because I want to help others, and I know that, I got to take care of me, and I have to come first, and I'm grateful that I have the my church members that helped me get through that, you know. And I'm grateful that they guide me through that and saying, you know, it's all about me today, you know. And, you know, take it slow, because there's so many people I know that struggle with addiction and depression and their homelessness, and I'm just grateful I'm not, you know, homeless, you know, because I could be there. Yeah, right. So I'm just thankful, and, you know, pray for the people, because somebody had called me, and, you know, pray for the people that struggle out there that are homeless and walk in the streets. Thank you.
Just prayers this morning. My mother's birthday is today, and some of you know that she had a health crisis at the beginning of the year, so a birthday is always a wonderful thing after a health crisis. So happy birthday to my mother, Donna Marburger.
Let's pray for our president.
We want to say thank you to God, because my mom, she made the interview last Friday. It was really hard. She took like 2 hours in the interview. It was really hard. So they tell her that in the next month or during this month, she will hear from them what will be the result. Did they deny her and go back to that unsafe country, or they will let her to rest in peace here. So please pray more and more.
Good morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we come before you this morning in humble prayer. We lift up our hearts and minds to you, trusting in your goodness and grace. Merciful God, we believe in your justice and love for all, which was declared through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, who became one of us, sharing in and understanding our humanity and suffering. You have loved us and accepted us despite our inadequacies. Thank you for your sacrifice, and help us to likewise show your love to all those in our communities, including our neighbors and fellow human beings that you have shown us. We remember this day on the eve of Martin King Luther Jr.'s birthday, those who have suffered and are persecuted for their race and ethnicity. Help us to fight for the oppressed as you did. Help us to show love regardless to all people, regardless of skin color, religion, financial status, sexuality, or other beliefs. Let us trust in you. Let your love flow through us to others, and help, and that through our actions, others may come to know you. We pray for the victims of injustice and violence in this world. We also pray for those who are responsible for injustice and all forms of violence. Although we do not always understand such suffering, we trust that your will is being done. Bring peace to us here today. We thank you for the people of this congregation and the work that is being done in the community through this church. We also come before you today with all the troubles and pains experienced by people in this congregation. We pray for the victims of Newtown, Connecticut, that you will continue to heal that community. We pray for the leaders in Washington, that you would give them wisdom in leadership and decision-making. We pray for those who have lost their work and all of us who are suffering from the economic crisis. We pray for those who are looking for jobs, that you will give them patience and perseverance. We also pray for the younger generation to keep hope alive and to believe in the future. We pray for those here today and elsewhere who are going through health problems. Specifically, we pray for Jim Lockhart, Walter and his family, Matt Harrison and his father Jimmy, and the good news that the brain cancer was likely benign, Sophie and her family, Lori's mother, the Ross family, for those with addiction or mental illness. We pray for strength and healing for all, and for others struggling with health issues here today. We ask for your comfort and healing grace. We also pray for those undergoing exams, for those in school. Give them wisdom and strength during this time. We pray for the financial situation of Bob's hospital. Give Bob patience and strength as he goes through this difficult situation. We lift up those who are here today and ask for blessing, grace, love, and safety. We pray for our ministers, elders, deacons, staff, and all members. Lord Jesus, you have called us to be your followers to proclaim the good news to the poor, that the captives will be free and the blind will see. Free us and our children from hatred and bitterness, and fill us with love, truth, and justice, so that we can recognize and respect the dignity of the rights of and the rights of others. Together, we pray for our church to be faithful and witness to Jesus Christ, the Liberator and Redeemer, who taught us to pray the following. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt. We forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now it's time for children's message, and it's Regina Bay will lead us for that. So children can come forward, please.
Come on down. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone. Oh, there you are. As many of you know, I am Leah's mom, and I'm going to give a short little message today about something that we do here in the big church that you may or may not know about, and that's something that we're going to be starting when we're downstairs. What do you see here, Harrison? Money. And guess what? You guys each get to take one. All right, so I'm going to have, maybe you help me pass some of those out. To keep, possibly. All right, yeah, if you don't mind passing some out too. Pass them around, okay. Does everybody have one?
No.
Not yet? All right, I think there's one coming to you, Harrison. All right, and while we're getting each getting our bills, I'm going to read a piece from the Bible. It's from the book of Deuteronomy, and I want you to listen closely to see what you think it means. It says, "If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs." So I want to think about what it means to be tight-fisted. What do you think tight-fisted means? In order to think about that, I want you to take your bill that you have, and I want you to hold it very close to you, very, very close to you, all right? And that's what it's like to be tight-fisted, because when you hold it very close to you, does it seem like you're going to let it go? Does it seem like it's going to be easy for someone to get it? No, it's very hard. Now I want you to take your bill and hold it out with your hand open. And that is what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be open-handed and freely give money to people who need it. And let's think about who are some people that we can give money to. Who are some people that we give money to? Elliot. People in Africa. Who else? Anyone else? Josie? People who don't have a lot of money. Do they live far away? Some of them live far away. Do you? You have money in your school? That's great. Helena? People who don't have a lot of money and need food. That's right. And in church, when we give our money to our church, it goes to lots of different places, places far away, like Africa, like Elliot said, and also places close to us, so places that are even in our neighborhoods, like the Camp Street Food Pantry that we help out at. And recently, all of you guys were part of giving money too. Do you remember the jar that we had up
on the front of the church, and we would give money to the Ashley Adoption Fund so that we could help a little girl in Africa come be with a family who is part of our church, right? So we are going to start practicing giving freely because God wants us to give freely. Why do you think God wants us to give in church? Helena. What's that? Love. And that is a wonderful answer. God wants us to give freely because that way we are showing God's love to other people. Okay? And so what we're going to do during offering time, Big Church gives their offerings at that time. And since we're in Sunday school at that time, what we're going to do is downstairs after we do our singing, we're going to have our own special offering time. So starting this week, from going forward, and parents take note, we're going to be collecting a special offering with the children as well. Okay? And what we're going to do is you're going to take these bills, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw a little heart on it. And this is something that you take home as a reminder with the heart on it, because it's a reminder that when you give freely and with an open heart, you are showing God's love to other people who need it. Okay? All right, I want everyone to pray with me before we go downstairs. Dear God, please help us not to be tight-fisted. Help us always to be open-handed and give to those in need. Thank you for blessing us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can all go down to Sunday school.
Good morning. The Old Testament lesson this morning is Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10, and it's in the Pew Bible, page 482, or in the large print Bible, page 627. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. The New Testament lesson is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. And in the Pew Bible, it's on page 163. And the large print Bible, it's page 211. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
welcome everybody, and happy to see many people came back from this long vacation and back to normal life now. But as we see, we still have the Christmas decoration all over, and as we heard some comment in the beginning, and we had a reason for that, for keeping the Christmas decoration longer, because the theme was for the whole month is keeping Christ after Christmas, and keeping the Christmas spirit even after the Christmas day. And today, maybe this is the last chance to have a deep reflection on what we have here from the creation. But this is not the last chance, really, if we want to be serious and keep the spirit of the Christmas with us to guide us toward Lent and later Easter. Last week, we talked about Jesus Christ and the trip to Egypt, and how God was working in a mysterious and wonderful way by meeting everybody's needs. While God was working in Jesus' safety and find a refuge, was actually a refuge for the Egyptians who were desperate. It is good when we bring people together and try to put pieces together to make one wonderful image. But to be honest and clear, this is not always easy. When we bring different pieces, it's easy to try to find which part fit with the other part. A lot of work, a lot of imagination, a lot of hope. All these small pieces, when they come together, maybe they will form something different. I grew up in a small city in southern part of Egypt, which is called Minya. My city was famous for many things. But if I compare it with the other Egyptian cities, one important thing about my city I'd like to share with you. It was the only city in Egypt with a Christian majority, where we were like almost or more than 75%, and the rest are Muslims. This is not the only reality, but another piece here which surprised many people, and even us as Christians in Egypt. In my city, we have 7 churches. And as I shared last week, building a church in a country with a Muslim majority is not an easy process. So we all felt blessed and privileged by being a Christian majority and with all these churches around us. 3 Coptic churches, 2 Presbyterians, 1 Pentecostal, and 1 Brethren church. And we used to joke about, we hope we are not the 7 churches as mentioned in the book of Revelation. We had a very strong argument among us as Christians about which one of these churches are really representing the true Christianity. Who is a better Christian than the others? And as I grew up in this atmosphere and this context, I learned as early as I can in my life to be a part of this debate and to defend my Coptic church as the only true church. When I became Presbyterian, I was a strong defender of the Protestant tradition, and we are the true church. And more specific about the Presbyterian church in Egypt. But when I moved to Cairo to study theology in my seminary, I encountered a new reality. The reality about being a part of the Christian minority and how to relate to the Muslim majority. At this period, I was introduced to a new way to defend or at least to define my Christian faith to the majority, to my friends and neighbors. I'm visiting all these stations in my life to reflect on this text today. In all these stations of my life in Egypt, I forgot, or I was trying to push myself to forget, that one day I was a Coptic, Orthodox, and the other day I became Presbyterian, Egyptian Presbyterian, and later became American Presbyterian, and I don't know for how long and for a different process I will go in the future. But I forgot one day I was on the other side of the aisle. One day I belong to the group I was defending, and the other day I belong to a group I'm accusing the other group. And now I'm wondering about my motives when I thought I was defending God. Was that the whole truth? Was I defending myself or God? My personal interest, or I was really defending the Christian faith? Or to reflect deeper and be honest about myself, maybe I was afraid to think that the people on the other side of the aisle are not fully wrong. Or maybe I was afraid to think that maybe I'm not fully right. Maybe. I'm not sure. The problem is not because of our differences or because of the argument we have and who is correct and who's wrong. Because all these could be just symptoms, but it's not really the real cause of what's really hidden there under our skins and under our verbal expressions. Because we can use all these differences and all these arguments to be honest and open and to investigate our motives, to reach better understanding of ourselves. And then we can relate to others and we can understand instead of attacking other people on the other side of the aisle. And in this text today, we have a problem in a church that is very diverse, a church that is very active and well known in the Christian history as a church full of energy and knowledge and all these wonderful things. And above all, spiritual gifts. But with the spiritual gifts, we can hear some of these gifts turns to be a curse. Could God's gifts be a curse? Is it God's problem or it's our problem? We see in this church how they were fighting over the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who is better? Who is doing better? Who is really holding this wonderful, the more attractive gift? Like preaching, like being able to reveal secrets about people's life, being able to show something can tell us we know something more than you. We are very talented and smart to speak in different tongues, and you can't. Some preferred one gift over the other because it seems it's appealing and it's attractive to the community. And when they came from their old practice of worshiping idols, they came with good things and bad things. And today, the epistle is telling them to remember where they came from. Because the reality is when they came and practiced the Christian faith, they're still practicing the Christian faith with their idol, with the same way they were worshiping their idols. And the reality, when they were worshiping God in the old times, their own gods, they will curse their own God so that God will leave them and then they could be free. But Paul telling them, this is not the same case after you became Christian. In this church, we can see how people came with a baggage of their past. People in this church assumed the problem was about the spiritual gifts. But we see how the epistle encountered this problem with a different approach. When he asked them, stop being ignorant. Stop being misinformed. And he was not talking about people ignorant because they didn't study philosophy or they didn't go to the school of Alexandria or Athens of Rome. But he was speaking about being ignorant as being not being capable of being in touch with their own self-identity. He encouraged them to refresh their memory of past. Remember where you came from. It seems like Paul has as somebody who's interested in philosophy and reason and logic and all these rational things. He was drawing the line between faith and conscience. Being faithful, being spiritual people, it doesn't mean to put your conscience away. It doesn't mean to put your mind away, but it means to use every tools to get through and over your life. And he asked them to examine their gifts. If your gifts is true, must bear the fruits, not only for yourself, but for everybody. And he was saying, if the beginning of your action will lead to everybody will feel these results, then you are really given these gifts from the Holy Spirit. Paul addressed his concern about warning them, do you forget your past? Because your past is still affecting the way you believe and the way you are acting. And there are many benefits from looking at the past. One is to understand why we are this way, why we behave this way, and why these things are so precious and the other is not. And the second reason is to filter what we have become. Not everything we carry from our past is not pleasant. And not everything we carry from our past we can keep on with our new identity as Christians. And he was reminding them about if you really keep connected to the past, you will protect from yourself from being ignorant and arrogant. And that's why he mentioned that very clearly. Regardless of how much we do and try to do to save people, to bring people to God, but just remember every preacher, every member of the church, and every member of a Christian faith. It's not just because of our work. It's because of the Holy Spirit work also. He was giving them a wonderful protection just by looking back at the past. Looking back at the past is not to fall on our back, but is to remember one day we were on the other side of the aisle. Accept Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit. Nobody. Remember, you came to the light of the Lord not only by your effort, but because of God's grace. And today, here is another recipe we can learn from this church to stay productive. And instead of comparing ourselves to each other to find who is better, maybe we should think about something else. We should see things as we are here because of God's grace. And with that comes huge responsibility. God is inviting us to use every tools, including our minds, our souls, everything we can use to understand God's goal in our lives and to find out how to use our gifts not only for ourselves, but to serve others too. We can see the challenge of our differences as an opportunity. And again, it's easy to say, but hard to do. We can see the challenge of our differences as an opportunity to find a way to complete each other and to fulfill God's mission on earth. Paul used every tool was available to solve the dilemma between the unity and diversity. But in the end, he took us back to the essence of the Christianity, the core of the Christianity, which is love. He said the greatest gift is love. And if you keep reading, he talked about love in a whole chapter, chapter 13. Just a chapter followed the one we read today. God is love, and the greatest gift is love. Through the gift of love, we can turn our challenges to be an opportunities, our weakness to be our strengths, and our difference to fit in harmony like an orchestra. The gift of love will enable us to refresh our memories and to remember the different stations in our life. If we can, we will be able to relate to others, even if they are on the other side of the aisle, even if they are on the opposite side of what we believe or what we do or what we stand for. But at least through the Christian love, we can start to think and feel what that means to stand in their shoes. A nation with no memory of the past is a nation with no future, is a nation with no plan to achieve something. And today we remember one of the true followers of Jesus Christ and what he wanted people to say about him in his funeral. And I close quoting Martin Luther King. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell him not to talk too long. Every now and then I wonder what I want him to say. Tell him not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell him not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell him not to mention where I went to school. I would like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I would like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say the day I have to write to be right on the walk with them. I want you to be able to say that day I did try to feed the hungry. I want to be able to say that day I did try in my life to clothe all too naked. I want you to say on that day I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. And I want you to say that I try to love and serve humanity. Amen.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith. It's the Apostles' Creed, the traditional version. It's printed in your bulletin and right up here. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We will now take up our offering, and I thought Helena put it just right during the children's sermon that this is about love. We give because of love, we give for love, and we give to love. So let us offer our gifts and tithes to God in a spirit of generosity and joy.
Thank you.
God of mercy and peace keeps his face on you, protect you during the day and the light. Go today in the peace of Jesus Christ, we believe.